we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, the one we're in right now, Alabama. I'm talking about, wow, like this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, just for good measure. I almost ran out of breath. Hey, this is my favorite time of the week. I mean, this is so we didn't get to do it last week because apparently y'all got a vacation or something. We didn't get to do it yesterday on schedule because something about McQueen had other things she had to do.
I was in T-Town.
All I know is this.
I'm sorry. Hey, thanks for rearranging.
I'm going to turn your mic off right now. All I know is we're here, and I'm glad of it. And it's time for Boomer and McQueen. All right, you guys, you know the deal. I ask questions. Y'all tell me what your unvarnished thoughts are on them. And then at some point, we flip the script. So right now, here's your first question. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Students, so I covered this earlier in the show, so Boomer's had a bit of a heads up on the topic. But students on college campuses are, you know, they're protesting in favor of Hamas. Like, they're out there protesting in favor of Hamas, claiming that Israel is to blame for the deaths of its own people. And then, oh, by the way, some of these kids are like, wait a minute, I'm not going to get the job that I wanted because people heard what I said? That's not fair. So anyway, I want to know, is it fair for kids to have their names called out and private companies decide not to hire them? I'm loading the question, but you know what I'm saying. I'm going to you first. What do you think?
You have to sit back because you've already been not doing this for part of the show. In a nutshell, yes.
Yes, they deserve what they get.
Yeah, well, I think it's no different than back in the day when it mattered what you had. Well, I mean, it still matters, but not this in the same way. I feel like you were careful what you posted on social media. You didn't want to have a post with a drink in your hand for certain reasons, or depending, I guess, on the occupation you're trying to get or whatever it was. Yeah. And, you know, that was grounds for you to not get hired or let go from somewhere or whatever it may be. Again, depending on, like, on your profession and what you were doing and who you're working with. But it's no different than that. I mean, what you're posting or what you're advocating for. But I also have seen, too, in some universities, I think it was University of Washington, where the university was hosting pro-Hamas parades.
Itself?
Yes, at University of Washington. Let me find it so I'm not misquoting.
Wow.
But no, at University of Washington, there was like pro-Hamas parades going on, and there was Jewish students that were like crying, trying to say, like, don't, like, what
She's
are
right.
you doing? I'm going to find this and I'll get back to you. But yes, in a nutshell, I would say, yeah, it is fair. If that's what you're posting and advocating and making very, you know, known that where you stand, like, there's every right to not hire someone.
Yeah, I saw what you said earlier. As a matter of fact, on social media, a young lady was crying and talking to a professor and saying, they're over there calling for the death of me and my people. Why would you allow this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty upsetting. Your thoughts, though, boom shakalaka.
All right. Actions unleash have consequences. Yeah. All right. Even back in the day before there was social media, us older generation and then even the older generation, I guarantee most of us that played sports had a mentor that told us actions have consequences. Yeah. And they taught us that. I know it when I was playing sports, my coach said that over and over again. What you do off this field directly affects what's on this field. Mm-hmm. And that's not only during this time in your life, it is for the rest of your life.
You're speaking the truth right now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
and it follows you for forever.
And then not even when it follows you forever. Why are these young people, or why have they not been taught this?
Mm-hmm.
That is their fault. It is our fault, some of our fault. If we have a direct effect on these young people, if we're helping and teaching them, we should be teaching them those things as well in schools that our government is not actually teaching the things that they need to be teaching. They're doing all this other junk.
You know what?
They grew up
with participation
trophies. Exactly. I was going right to the participation trophies, right to
it's always
going to
circle
wins,
back to that.
Everybody, you know, so yes, actions have consequences, and I definitely agree with what's going on with it.
Yep. Okay. And just the indoctrination of your truth is the truth. And that's what people have been, it's been ingrained in them that, oh, my truth wins. Like, my truth is the truth. And so they think this is what I believe, then it's correct. And no, we know right from wrong. There is a difference between right and wrong.
And it also goes into the business field. Know your crowd.
That's a great point.
You know, it goes into it's life.
We talked about that yesterday with the Dixie Chicks and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it should be part of life, and you should know what you are willing to say in person, what you are willing to say digitally, what you are willing to say on other platforms. You should know that that should have consequences on what may happen later on in your life.
Yeah, and this goes back to what I said earlier. You better own it. You know what? Yeah. If you're going to get out there and say it, if you're going to be out there and be that guy or that girl, you're going to have to own it, because when someone calls you on it, don't go, well, it's my truth.
Mayor
doesn't work.
Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. Deleted his tweet.
There you go. Deleted his tweet.
Oh gosh. I didn't know this.
All those things. I think, you should know in this day of age, especially with all the technology, it's going to get out there. If you don't believe in what you say or you type, don't do it.
That's exactly right.
You can always find it once it's out there. Once you hit enter.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is nothing that's truly ever gone once you put it out there online.
Correct.
I remember somebody showing me, oh, no, I can go back and recoup that. What do you mean you can recoup it? Yeah.
Hang on
a second. I'll find it for you. And they brought me this thing this guy had deleted. And I was like, how'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, there's a whole website that archives everything in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, the NSA is going to bring it back anyway.
That's crazy. It all lives in the cloud somewhere.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Cloud.
Okay. All right. That was good. I mean, you guys are on the money. Okay. Here's the next question. So Governor DeSantis issued an executive order yesterday. And he called for his state to begin chartering flights to get Florida citizens out of Israel who feel like they're stuck over there. All commercial flights have been canceled in and out of Israel. And the U.S. State Department is, it's just like Afghanistan again. They're sort of working their way through the process of how to get people. And so DeSantis is going, all right, fine. If I got a church group stuck over there, I'm bringing them home because I'm their governor.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? And, oh, by the way, should Governor Ivey do the same? Oh, Boomer's leaning towards the microphone.
He's just fired up. Go for it. All you,
awesome.
Babe.
Thank you. I applaud Governor DeSantis. On the other hand, I think all of our public officials and state officials and even nation officials, I think this should have happened the day after.
Yeah.
I think it should have happened earlier. If we have Americans on the ground, I think we should have been over there trying to get them out right away.
Yeah, why is that
away.
Hard?
I don't know, especially with all of our resources. Why is that hard to be like, hey, we have Americans over there, go do your thing. I'm giving you official whatever I need to do.
But you remember, too, we were talking to U.S. Senator Katie Britt on Monday, and she said that she's already got people who called in saying the day after they were calling the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem to help them to get out, and
yes.
It was closed for the holiday.
It was closed for the holiday. The U.S. Embassy was closed for the holiday.
They got a recording saying, we're sorry, the U.S. Embassy is closed today for Columbus Day.
Unreal. We should have already had flights over there in different areas and people in there helping people get out.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, I just was looking for something here on my phone. This was like a Florida Republican, Corey Mills.
Yeah. Rescues
32 Americans in Israel while the White House tries to decide about how or if they're going to get stranded U.S. citizens out. And he's over there, boots on the ground. And this just reminds me of being the hands and feet of Jesus. Like inconvenience yourself. That doesn't even matter. We're talking about humanity here.
Yeah.
I think that is like the coolest thing, and what a precedent and example that sets, that Governor DeSantis is doing that. And I hope we, like Alabama follows, I hope every state follows suit. Doing whatever it takes to help these people. And I think that, going back on what some of the people that are like the pro Hamas, and maybe some of them it's because of a religious tie or that they have a Middle Eastern background. But this is talking about humanity and right and wrong, whether that's your background or not. I know we know a lot of great Middle Eastern people with, Middle Eastern descent, lots of them. That doesn't matter. This is a evil, and it's monstrous, and it's just horrific. So,
bring them home.
Absolutely.
On that note, I know we've talked about it a lot on the show. Alabama has a giant pot of reserve money. What's it called?
The Rainy Day Trust Fund.
Rainy Day Trust Fund. Yeah. I know other states have it. And if we're not going to send our, we talked about it yesterday, our National Guard,
we have National Guard assets.
National Guard, yeah.
I don't know if they can actually deploy those. I kind of looked into that some more. I'm not sure they can.
But if we have all that money in reserve, why can't we do what DeSantis doing and charter all these flights, get somebody out there to go help our Alabamians and other other states.
Totally agree. Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you got to know some of those charter flights, they're willing to do it because they make a mint doing it. But at the same time, it's for a good cause. And I did see this, and I will give props where I can. I saw one article this morning, which might be in my stack, but I saw one article this morning that said that there were several U.S. C-17 aircraft. That's one of our giant military cargo aircraft that had flown in and out and taken. All it said, though, was had taken a few Americans out. Well, I don't know what that means. But what we're not hearing is the coordinated effort. Here's the airlift. You know, U.S. citizens report to this place, process in, bring your passports.
Absolutely.
We will screen you through and put you on the next available
plane.
And
how much would it have given the American people here in the U.S. and over in Israel if our commander-in-chief went on right after this happened and said, hey, we're coming to get you.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you worry.
The confidence that would have instilled in the U.S. in the American people.
Let me take a nap.
Yep.
Oh yeah, he didn't. He slept.
Wasn't in like,
thing.
And I read somewhere like was just having a barbecue or something like that.
Oh yeah, he had a big party. And it's one of those hard things where you look at it and go, okay, he had a party, a barbecue for all of the staff of the White House to as like an annual thank you for what they do, and it was on the books. It was already there. They had a band scheduled. They had the food. So part of me's like, I get it. You don't just cancel the party. But dang,
you can
man.
Say something.
The,
you can acknowledge optics. What's happening.
Oh yeah,
and be like, "Hey guys, before we start, I need to address something." This, boom. All right, now let's go do our thing. You know.
And oh, by the way, don't sleep in.
Don't sleep in.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I guess the bottom line is we all agree that there's nothing wrong with the. And by the way, DeSantis is running for president. Everybody gets that.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is a I'm running for president move. I think it makes him look good while he's running for president, but I think he's proven along the way he's the kind of guy that does this kind of stuff anyway.
Exactly.
And on that note, too, I like that he is running for president, but like it's not stopping him from doing things like as the Florida governor. Like he's able to like I feel like separate the two, and they probably it's hard like
there's an overlap.
There's for sure, but I still feel like he's accomplishing and doing what needs to be done, not just going, oh no, I'm campaigning.
Yeah, I'm busy right now.
Yeah,
get back to me. All right, boom shakalaka, take me to the break. We will do that right now. The first round of Boomer and McQueen is in the can. We'll come right back. This is where we flip the script. They ask me any question. I don't even know what's coming yet. But they ask me any question and just see how I do. Breaking news right now, explosion seen over Gaza. And Jim Jordan has just been nominated as a Speaker of the House by his caucus. We'll see how that goes. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Back for round two of Boomer and McQueen. This is where we flip the script. I ask them my questions first half, and then we flip the script, and they just get to ask me whatever they want. So I'm going to McQueen. What you got for me?
All right. Well, with everything going on with Israel and Hamas and everything, and just like the focus being on the war, I feel like a lot of the other there's been so many things going on that have kind of subsided or gotten suppressed, I guess, or kind of faded into the background, mm-hmm. disappeared maybe a little bit. And I'm sure there's probably some strategy to that, or some of that's probably strategic. Huh. But I know that some things are still like very much advancing or going on from the Trump case and charges against Hunter Biden, as well as just the impeachment articles. So like kind of what still is going on and is pertinent right now?
Oh, everything. You're right. I mean, that's so true. It's so easy for the press to get myopic. I mean, they get to where like they're just wearing blinders and all they see is the one story, maybe two at most. And it's crazy because you think in a 24/7 news cycle like we have nowadays, they'd be able to branch out and do a little more. I can remember being overseas, and we had a TV up in the chow hall that had CNN International, you know, that would play, and you could watch it while you're eating and stuff. And we might have had 50 good things happen that week. All they covered was the one bad. And I remember one time sitting there looking at somebody going, are they in the same place we are? You know, because because there's so much that gets overlooked when that happens. So, yeah, I mean, right now, yes, I mean, Trump has still got his civil trial going on that was foisted on him by the activist DA or excuse me, Attorney General up in New York. We've got, of course, candidates running for president that are out there doing their thing. We've got the Hunter Biden scandals going on. He entered a plea. If I'm not mistaken, he entered a plea on his gun charges. And then we've also got the impeachment inquiries. Some of that stalled by the fact that we've got a Speaker of the House absentee that we're looking at votes on, which is still somewhat in the news, but it's secondary to the war in Israel. So, yeah, I mean, the danger here is you take your eyes off the other prizes because they're not the clickbait. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge right now the fact that Israel is the top story.
It should be.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a story of our decade.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been a couple times when I've said that since I've been on the air. When we pulled out of Afghanistan, when Russia invaded Ukraine, and this. And I think those are three stories of our decade. Those are defining moments. So I don't mind seeing the fact that's taken a lot of the air out of the room. But there's other stuff that we cannot lose sight of.
Yeah, you just don't want to get like pushed under the rug.
Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. So is there anything like with the I guess especially with the Biden and Hunter Biden stuff that's just like newsworthy right now as far as like, has anything changed? Has anything happened? Are we seeing anything go in a different direction? Or is it just kind of the same, kind of just stagnant right now?
One of the things that's happening right now is the loss of the Kevin McCarthy speakership has... Now, granted, they've still got an interim speaker. Congress can still do its stuff. They can still convene when they have to. But Jim Jordan is now the lead candidate for speaker. He's the chair of judiciary, which is one of the ones overseeing the impeachment proceedings. And so I can just tell you, just from my limited experience of being in Montgomery, when Governor Bentley was going through his near impeachment, and we also had Speaker Hubbard, who was indicted and had to leave his chair, it sucks the air out of the room in a big, big, big way. And it becomes a distraction. Mm-hmm. And right now, Jim Jordan is not able to do what he was supposed to be doing before, which is focus on those impeachment proceedings.
Mm.
Now, that's going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to come back.
Yeah.
It's not gone at all. But it has certainly been a distraction. So I think that's one of the big stories right now, is that the impeachment proceedings are stalled while we try to get a speaker. We need to get a speaker right away.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. What you got, Boom Shakalaka?
Oh, well, I don't know. Y'all kind of covered it all. I used all my words in the last segment.
You did.
I did cover quite the gamut there. All right. Anybody got a stupid story? Who's got a stupid
pick
story?
Me,
stupidest
pick
story.
Me.
Are we going to get? Hey, we're getting to stupidest story of the week. That's the first time in like a month we've done
it
that.
It is.
You
like
better
the first
hurry.
Time.
You got about a minute.
Okay. Well, let's say I have a really great story. It's kind of stupid. Okay. No, it is. Like for health reasons, it's kind of stupid. So this lady in Chicago wanted to set the – hold on. I gotta find it. Here we go. 104-year-old Chicago woman is hoping is going to be the first or the oldest person to skydive. 104 years old.
But what happened 3 days later?
Yeah, 3 days later. You know that, right?
She had to leave her walker on the ground and then made a tandem jump in northern Illinois. And
she doesn't know the rest of the story.
You don't know the rest of the story?
She's the oldest person ever. And she
tried. What happens 3 days later?
She died.
Oh.
Oh, for real? Y'all
yes.
already know this story?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, bless her heart. She
but
actually
she
died
did,
3 days
she
later.
She did set the world record.
So. Yeah,
she
so she's
did.
The oldest person.
And I'm going to say she lived large to the very end.
She did.
So, yeah, that is very true. And did you know how old she was when she jumped for the first time?
Oh, that wasn't the first time?
No, she jumped twice. The first time was she was 100. 100
so
years old.
So she went from 100 to 104.
104.
I'm going to do it again.
Because someone did it at 103 and she wanted to beat them.
Oh, see, good for her.
That's right.
She did.
But she. What were the complications she died of 3 days later?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I just saw
the headline.
I just saw that she passed away 3 days later.
Right,
I think
I
it was 3 days
out.
Later. It was very soon after.
Actually, I'm not totally sure how either. I'm going to look it up too.
Well, way to be a buzzkill.
No, because that's crazy. That was a story, and it was probably not the smartest to jump at 104 because we saw why.
We just brought the buzzkill to it.
Yeah, if y'all wouldn't have said, I was just going to leave y'all hanging.
McQueen, so. Cool story. Thank you so much.
Good job.
I'm not finding another one next week.
All right, love you both. It's Boomer and McQueen. Always my favorite time of every single week. Let's don't wait till Friday next time.
Sorry.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Right Side Ruffians out.